Let me make some announcements before we get into the word tonight, and that word being mostly more prophecies. We've added another prophecy to the blueprint for 2020 compilations. A few weeks ago, prior to everybody having to be staying at home, a father in the faith, one of my fathers in the faith, Tim Stemple, did a lesson at the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa. And he brought forth a recognition of what he felt was the beginning of this hub, if you want to call it, of prophecies that the Lord gave us beginning at the latter part of 2019 into the first part of 2020. And the first one that he recognized, that he felt that we as a body should recognize, is one that was given on October 10th, 2019, and it's called Bring Forth Intercession in These Last Days. Now, I'm not going to read that because we're probably going to go into that at another service. I'm just telling you that because we have added that now. That has already been added to the compilations of the ones in Tulsa at the Family Prayer Center, Dave Roberson Ministries. It's at their website, and now we've added it to ours. So if you go on our website and click on there, has that all of it? It's the same thing. So it'll start out, I think it started out before with Bring Me Gold. It'll start out now with this other one. So there, what I'm saying is there's actually 10 prophecies that we're putting in this wheel, this hub, this, you know, these 10 spokes that we believe that God has spoken to us and to the church that are together on this walk, and the church worldwide, as in giving us directives into this new year. So that's available, and it's available on our website. There also was a prophecy. It's the Stay on the Green Line. I've got it right here. Let me read this. There was a prophecy that came Sunday. Now, we'll have that available. Candy printed up some for the church today. And this will also be online. It probably already is. This is something that the Lord said on Sunday to us, or for us to keep. I titled this Stay on the Green Line. It could have just as well been Keep Going Forward. But there were certain things as I was hearing this, that the Lord was saying. And I think it's so relevant to what we're facing right now. The Lord said, "For none of these things have caught me unaware, says the Spirit of grace. For long before you were conceived, I saw these days and way past these days. Know that things will come and things will go. Seasons will come and seasons will end. But my word will always remain, says the Spirit of grace. Yours is to stay focused on the green line of going forward in my spirit." So right there, I want you to see that there is a green line. The best way I can say this is, I'm not trying to give you your visualization of this, but I'm kind of wanting to share mine, is that at every stoplight, there's either a go green or a stop red. And the Lord is saying in this prophecy, one of the ways that I see to interpret this personally for myself and for others is the Lord is saying, no matter what is going on restrictive around you, there's a go ahead in the Spirit, in my presence, and in my word. He says, "Yours is to stay focused on the green line of going forward in my spirit. Nothing has abated that. Nothing has put a stop to that or restrictions on that," says the Spirit of grace. Stay on the green line. Continue to go forward in the manifestation of grace and of my glory, says the Lord. Mark these things down and know, mark these things down, that after this season, for a season, will come a great wave across the nation in different places, in different churches that are seeking my face. So what the Lord is saying there is this. He's telling us that after what we're all going through right now, that there is something coming that will be what he describes as a wave that will affect a number of churches and gatherings across our nation. They'll see a prelude to the great revival that is coming, says the Spirit of the Lord. Not that I brought these things, but I'll use the window of opportunity in the hearts of men who are turning inward to me to trust me. For a great wave of my Spirit will bring forth a prelude to those things which is coming. I'll advertise that which is in front of you that'll be in the days ahead, says the Spirit of the Lord. So the Lord here is telling us, in a certain sense, that what is coming will be a billboard for the greater part, for the revival. So I'm really looking forward to that and expecting that in the Spirit. Rejoice in these days. Stay on the green line and continue to move forward, because on that line, that place is always an open door. There are no restrictions. There are no inhibitions to that place. Continue to go forward in my Spirit, and I'll prove myself, as I said in days gone by, that you'll receive this great outpouring, says the Spirit of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. So we receive that, and especially when everything else around us in the natural, and I'm not complaining because we're all going through it together, and I think that people, you know, for the most part, our officials are trying. They're not trying to hurt us. They're trying to restrict things because of trying to keep us alive and those kinds of things. So, but with all the restrictions, there's no restrictions in the kingdom of God. That's just, it's a free going forward, and we're going to get our days. Amen. I don't know, I'll advertise this, but I don't have Facebook, but somebody sent me a copy of it. But Alan Taylor has a short snippet video of Pastor Dave Roberson prophesying many years ago, and I believe it was in Brazil, and I was hoping to have that tonight and show it to you. But it's only like, you can go on to Alan's if you have Facebook and see that, because he's prophesying of coming diseases and those kinds of things, and how that man will not readily find an antidote, but in the midst of it, God's people are going to rise up in such a way that it's going to be undeniable that there's something different about us, and that we're going to have answers when the world doesn't have answers. So praise the Lord. Let me make some observations, because it's important that I do. And then we'll, as I said, we'll go into some of his word and prophecy. Especially, let me say this concerning our church services. As far as I know, now I said Sunday we'd probably have service here tonight, but I said that may change because it changes continually, and it did change. So we got the president asking all of us to continue to keep our meetings down to 10 or less. Then today in our state, our state governor, Governor DeSantis, put an executive order in, a stay home order, meaning that all counties, it was up until today that there was only four counties, and that was all on the east side of Florida, that was actually restricted to a stay-at-home executive order for the next, I don't know if that was to the end of this month or not, but now this one is for the next 30 days, which would be to the end of April. I'm not going to try to interpret all that for you. You'll have to go online. I will say this. I have investigated quite a bit this afternoon, had other people helping me. There are at least a couple of websites where people are asking candid questions like, well, can I go to church? Blah, 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 this, that, and the other. The last CDC guidelines was, beginning it was 50 or less, and then the White House or our president asked for 10 or less for, you know, for 2 weeks, then he extended it for another month. But even in the state of Florida, since this has come out concerning our governor, there is quite a bit to suggest that this is a gray area and that there will be some area of grace for churches, especially working under, I saw one, 50 or less, but I would say especially under the guidelines of 10 or less. So we're going to continue to operate here in this place unless we're asked to stop, and then but we will continue to have church even if it's at another place, which would be my residence at that point in time. But you'll always be able to tune in here and have church for however long this lasts. We're very respectful to our government and to our governor, but I've read quite a bit this afternoon, and it looks like we've still got a I don't want to say a loophole, but an area of grace, because evidently, and he said today that more would be coming out. He made a blanket kind of declaration or restriction, but then there is going to be other things that'll, you know, supplemental information that'll come along with that. Okay. I want to say this, and this is important. This is not the end of the world. And I mean that literally. You know, that's a figuratively given statement. Like, you know, son, don't cry, or daughter, don't cry. You know, it's not the end of the world. But what I'm saying is, according to Matthew chapter 24, when they ask him, what is the end of the world? And we just had Brother Martin, Jim Martin, teach us in February in an awesome seminar on end time events. And if you haven't listened to those, please, they're posted on our website. They're fantastic. But this is not that. This is not the end of the age. It could be. I believe that it very well is the beginning of sorrows mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. But one thing I know is that this is not the end, because in Matthew 24, verse 14, I believe it is, Jesus testifies that before all this comes down to an absolute end, that this gospel, the one that he has taught and demonstrated, will be orchestrated throughout the earth by his disciples. And so we've not seen that. And so what I'm saying is, this is not a prelude to a quick coming of Christ. I do believe things are going to get much better in the days ahead, but at the same time, we have been teaching for years around here, get strong and stay strong, because I really believe that even after this goes away, that there are going to be many other things in the last days, and some of them may be, this may be just nothing compared to what could be coming in the years ahead. So the bottom line is, that's not meant to scare people, but get strong, stay strong. How do I get strong? Get into the Word. If you're not born again, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the first place. That's first base. Then you receive a peace that passes all understanding, the Word says. He promises a peace that passes all understanding. And what does that mean, a peace that passes all understanding? It means when the natural mind can't figure out why you have peace, I don't understand why I have peace, but I have peace. If you know, first of all, that Jesus Christ will take care of you, that's peace. That's the most peace. This may sound a little morbid to some people, but it's not. It's the bottom line of all things. If you know that death cannot separate you from life, then there's no fear of death. If the worst thing that could ever happen to anyone is death, that's really not so bad, because if you know Jesus, then the next moment you're going to be with Christ. And that's the hope. God, you know, Candy says oftentimes, she said, I'm just so thankful that he made a plan. You know, that he made a plan for eternity where we could all be together again. And that's the greatest thing. So for us, There's a peace that passes all our understanding, because deep in our spirit we know that he's going to protect us according to his word. If we stay in his word, believe him, claim the promises. We've got some, you know, Gary Carpenter did a message this past week, and he's having to broadcast from home, and which he advertised those scriptures for confession of health and finances. And we've got them in the back here, and we've oftentimes advertised them, but there are a number of confessions and scriptures that you can say over your body and over your finances on a daily basis. You can go to his website and pick those up. And he said he does them every day. I do them quite often about for myself, but there's an assurance there that we're all going to be okay, physically and financially. But the bottom line is, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's the bottom line. And if this world is not your home, now I'll tell you where a lot of Christians are at, because they've never prepared. Heaven is not a reality to them, and they don't have eternal values. In other words, their hopes, their life, their joy is in, it's either in a shopping mall, or it's a new car, or a home, or a big diamond ring, or, you know, this is one thing that this has proven. It's proven this: the world is not nearly as secure as what people thought. If I would have, or let's say not me, I won't put me as knowing, you know, but let's say somebody came up to you in the end of last year, let's say the last, around Christmas time or the beginning of the new year, when let's say the Dow Jones Industrial Average was headed towards 30,000, the unemployment rate was lower than it probably ever had been, the economy was going great, and if that person would have told you in the spring of next year, or in the spring, let's say it was in the first of the year, that, because this has really only come down the pike strong in the last 30 days, 45 days, if a person told you by spring, or by the first day, this is April 1st, by the first day of the second quarter of this year, the stock market will drop during that time about 11,000 points. All shopping malls will be closed. All restaurants, basically, will be closed. The airline industry will be cut in half or one-third. People will not be able to travel, and most people across the nation will be asked to stay in their homes for extended. You would have thought that person is absolutely crazy. There's no way that a massive juggernaut of a machine that is so massive and awesome, of 350 million people and everybody going this way and that way, and an economy, there's no way that anything like that could be shut down in just 30 days' time. It shows you that the world is not nearly, it's much more volatile than anybody could ever imagine. It can be changed in just a few weeks. Everything can be changed in just a few weeks. That's why that's so important to know that the end times are going to come, and as they come, there's no certainty in this world. Things will go back to normal. People will kind of forget, not entirely, but they'll kind of forget what these days were like. But understand that no matter where it ever improves, it can go to this place and worse just like that. That's why it's important to put, you can't put away enough money. You can't put away enough security. All that you can, the thing that you can do is, your security is in heaven. It's in that place. That's where your security, you can't bury it in the backyard enough. You can't, you know, it's your security has to be in Christ. Amen. The other thing I will mention too, going into tonight's message, is that, so that you have an understanding for those that are watching, because there has been, and I won't mention any names, and it's certainly not to condemn anyone, but there have been at least one, and I know that now I read about another one today, mega church pastors who have gotten in trouble. And when I say mega church pastors, I'm talking about, you know, maybe thousands. This one particular person who in Florida got a pastor that got arrested because he continued to have services of hundreds after his county. Now, this was before our governor ever restricted the state. His county put into effect a stay-at-home order. And I was concerned when I first heard about it that if there was enough professional courtesy that they first went and said, "Pastor, will you please stop?" Not that they necessarily had to do that, but I was hoping that they'd at least done that. And they did do that, as far as I read, at least on two occasions. And he did not stop. And so he was arrested just for an hour or two, got out on $500 bail. So it was basically a big slap on the wrist. But he did get arrested because they said, you're jeopardizing hundreds and possibly thousands of people's lives. I want to say this, and this is important. I think most of you will understand. That is not persecution for righteousness' sake. There are going to be a lot of people that say, oh, the end has started, and they're starting to persecute our pastors. And if they were only after churches, that might be an argument. But they're shutting down they've asked everybody. They've asked everybody. Qantas clubs, all kinds of clubs, and they've asked everybody. And when persecution for righteousness' sake comes, is when they come and say, we're shutting you down because you're preaching Jesus and Him crucified. Now, that's persecution for righteousness' sake. That's when you're glad to go to jail. You're not obeying what what their government has asked you to do and your local ordinances have asked you to do, and you have the capacity to do, and I'm not trying to put us above them, I'm just trying to teach a lesson. They had the capacity, and probably far more than we do, to stream like we're doing tonight, and so they just wouldn't do that. That is not persecution for righteousness' sake, and that is not the Antichrist starting to attack pastors. So please, don't go there. Don't get a big, kind of thought process going there. So pastors need to obey the law, as you know, in good conscience, and follow what's going on. So, amen. The other thing too is, and I'll just mention this, and some of you are familiar with it, some of you are not. I'm asking Harry, which is not, he wasn't able to be here with us tonight, and maybe some others will get involved with this. There is an app called Zoom. And he wasn't so familiar with it. I'm not real familiar with it, but my daughter, my grandson is going to school on Zoom two times a day. And it's an app that it's free, as far as I know. You download it, and so you have a host app or person, and that person gives you a code number, and you just use that code, and when that meeting is going to take place, everybody can meet, and everybody's picture shows up on the screen. So it's very possible. We'll see what we can do, but what I'm going to do, I'm hopeful that, and I asked him, could we do this? He's going to investigate. I know that my daughter and her son meet daily, and all of his little friends in the class, maybe not all of them, but 20 or 30 of them are sitting there, and they can all interact. They can all say hi, and so we're going to look at Zoom, not throughout our entire service, because I don't want you all saying hi to each other the entire service. But we probably will have a number of different applications for that, and so look at it, not right now, because we're going to teach some more on God's Word. But after the service or sometime tomorrow, look at Zoom at possibly downloading that on your smart device, because if we can, we'll probably be putting Zoom up here on the screen that's not down right now, and you'll see all of us, and you'll see all of your friends, and so we'll have a greeting time each service, and if we can, we're going to check into this, and if we can go through the computer, put it up here on the screen, so you'll be able to. And the other thing too is, in a couple of weeks, probably not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, and especially on Easter and Palm Sunday, we will probably be having communion together, so everybody will be able to Zoom in, and we'll have communion during those services together. And so we're trying to figure out ways through the mind of the Spirit to have virtual services together. So look into that. You know, it's real easy. I'm gonna look to Harry or Robert to figure that out, and then they'll be able to tell you on Sunday how easy that is, so we can start meeting together in that fashion. Amen. Let me go over some of the stuff, some of the prophecy that the Lord used on Sunday for us to continue to look at. This one here is part of the 2020 compiling of prophecies, blueprint for prophecies, and we read this one. Some of you have that, and you know, along. I mean, I've got some copies if anybody in this massive crowd needs one, but it's Move Out of My Authority is the name of the prophecy, and I just want to mention a few things out of it, and then we're going into something else, not long here, because we're going along here. We're enjoying service, though. Amen? We're having service. Praise God. So, Father, we just worship you again, and we're so thankful for these supernatural moves of your Spirit, even in the midst of something that's so unusual that we would have never thought that this was possible. But as well as this is possible, it's also possible that the pendulum swings and that we're going to see massive crowds in the days ahead. Pastor Dave saw in the Spirit that there would be crowds where there would be like an ocean of people. And certainly, Lord, we understand that's not necessarily at this moment in time where people can't stand, you know, we're asked to stand 6 foot apart. But Lord, there is coming a time on planet Earth, because of that prophecy and many other prophecies, that multitudes are going to stand in the balance and multitudes of people are going to be healed. There's going to be just thousands and thousands stand in fields and places where church buildings can't hold them. And so, Father, we're so thankful that, Lord, we're standing in a very small sliver of time that will then interpret itself out into a bigger footprint in the earth, where we're going to see revival take place in our homeland and in the earth. And Lord, our travel's not going to be restrictive, but we're going to be able to travel to places and speak the word and be part of a major revival that takes place in the earth. So we thank you, because this is just a passing moment in time, and we give you all the glory for taking us to the other side of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm just going to mention a few things, and I say a few things because I want to get to another, I'm going to call it a prophecy, but because I want to pair this or couple this, Move Out of My Authority, with something that I'm going to have us read, and we have still a number of copies on that for, you know, the few people that are here, and then I'm going to tell you how to get to it. But it's part of the face-to-face documents that was given to Gary Carpenter, I would say face-to-face encounters, and then they turned into what we would say documents or audible readings that you can listen to on his website. But let me read part of the Move Out of My Authority, and because what we're going to see is a real marriage, I might say, or a dovetailing, where that it's like the feathers of a dove. They really are married together in what the Lord said in 1980 and what the Lord said in 2020, several years later. 1980, that's not correct. I said the other day what the dates was that he gave me on that, and I probably, it's not necessarily totally important at this time, but it was years later. I think it's 20 years ago is when, so it'd be 2000 maybe, I'm not sure. That's not the important part right now. Let me go forward. Move out of my authority. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke, says the Spirit of grace. The flesh profits nothing, says the Spirit of grace. More determination, more willpower, more being adamant about getting it done or convincing others in your life to get it done or to do for you or move this or to move that is not the authority that I gave you. For my authority comes up from a place of the Spirit. I gave Adam from the very beginning that authority to tend to the garden. Before the fall, his authority came out of the Spirit that was in total unison with his physical body and his soul. So reading that first paragraph of Move My Out of My Authority lets us understand something, and we've gone over this prophecy several times before, is that God wants to get over to us where the original authority was at, and then how that through our born-again spirit, his authority comes to us, and how that we are to move out of that authority in every aspect of life, especially for the coming revival, especially for those things. And in doing so, we're going to be training ourselves spiritually even before all of that gets here in its fullness, to work and act out of a place that everything comes out of the Spirit. So that the Lord goes on in this prophecy, and I'm just mentioning a few things because I want us to see how this ties in. The third paragraph down, it says, learn this place of authority because you must understand this and judge yourself when frustrations come and angers come and a sense of having to make it happen comes. He said in the prior paragraph, I can mention this, he said, the Lord said, I did not give you this spirit, which is your born-again spirit, to move out of the flesh. For all authority comes out of that spirit, says the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, why would we forfeit the authority that's been given to us by trying to move out of a place of the flesh rather than the Spirit? Now, I'm going through this kind of in a highlighted manner because Sunday we went over this more extensively, this prophecy. If you didn't hear Sunday, if you're not familiar with this particular prophecy or the blueprint prophecies, then you may feel at a disadvantage if you're watching tonight. But I would say go back and listen to our Sunday service, and the more explicit, we did a more explicit line-on-line teaching on this particular prophecy. So he said, learn this place of authority. And then he said in this same paragraph, and this is one of the most favorite parts of this prophecy for me. He said, for us to speak the end result. Speak the end result. In this year that we're going through, I believe the Lord gave us these prophecies to war, as he said to Timothy, as Paul said to Timothy, war with the prophecies that went before you or on you. And we are to understand that the Lord is saying to us that we are to continue to speak the end result. Now, I know that could be corporately through what we're going through, but explicitly for your entire life, Candy and I are learning that whatever report comes to us or whatever that we're going through physically, Candy was standing in a certain place of the house today, and, you know, it wasn't that I was downcast. She was just, you know, she was saying to me, she was speaking the end result. This is going to happen for you, and that's going to happen. And it was some things concerning, you know, our bodies and different things concerning maybe the church or this. And the end, all of it was the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and what we are believing God, what we're believing to see happen for ourselves physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever. But you speak the end result because the Word and God's Spirit is the one that causes that to take place. It's the same result that God the Father had when he said, let there be light, and there was light. Hallelujah. he believed that the Holy Spirit, he just knew, he knew that when he spoke, that the essence of creation would come out of the one that we call the Christ, and the Holy Spirit would use, if you want to say that matter, whatever, to bring into existence the earth. So we speak the end result continually. Amen. He said, the Lord said, I've called you for an outpouring. I've called you for a place where men look at your lives and say, there is a group that does not walk like we walk. There is a group who, when they speak something, it comes to pass. The next paragraph on down, which I don't know if you're following, you very well could have. I may have mentioned this prior. If you go to our website, on our face page, there's blueprint prophecies there, and so it's blueprint for 2020. You just tap that, and as you tap that, you know, they'll all appear. And this particular one is in there. Move out of my authority. So what'd you say? It's the last one. Candy said it's the last one. It's easy to find. But throughout those prophecies, what you're going to see, and it's amazing how the Lord did this. We never put it together until we're able to look at it. But the amazing part is this, that the Lord, through at least, I think, three of those different prophecies, the Lord refers to us as kings and priests. Kings and priests. So he says here in this one, kings and priests I've called you to be. Yes, you will lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. And that is part of the outpouring. But part and much of the great outpouring is walking in a place where the anointing surrounds you and it breaks all yokes. Amen. It breaks all yokes. Now I can hear him inside of me as I'm reading this, and kind of ushering me along to where we're going. I want to go to the next document that I have. And we passed this out, I think we passed it out Sunday. There's some available on the back table, but this is the face-to-face encounter documents that the Lord gave to Gary Carpenter, and I want to say, I said I wasn't going to figure that out, but I think it was 22 years ago. What would 22 years ago be? 1998. Yeah, so it must have been 1998. Yeah. So this one here is the works of the Father. If you want to follow along, you guys are, most of you that are watching, real sharp. You know, you can, everybody's watching that's sharp. Okay, I don't want to, everybody's sharp. But if you're acclimated to smart devices, you can just go on Gary's, let me see. I've got his icon here. Gary Carpenter. I don't know how much Wi-Fi I've got in here. I should have. Go straight to the face page. It says the face-to-face series. Tap that. And scroll down, and let's see, the works of the Father. It's number 13, and so I'm not going to push MP3, but I can push the HTML, and that'll give me that document. You can follow along with us, okay? This is called the works of the Father. What I want you to see is how that this goes along so beautifully, intricately with move out of my authority, because the Lord continues to say again, in essence, if you're moving out of frustration, and I gave an illustration Sunday how that something came up a few months ago, just nothing that I sinned on in the essence, but I was like trying to get somebody at an insurance company to get something done, and I was like, I realized there was a little bit of, you better get this done because you're responsible for this. And I didn't say anything derogatory in that sense, but I realized that the Lord checked me on that and said, whose authority are you moving out of? And it was a simple litmus test for me to realize, now, if I'm going to raise the dead or heal the sick, everything that exudes out of me in authority, like getting something done, like you need to be adamant about things in the earth, because the earth will you know, nobody's, the world's not nice. I can tell you that. I understand that. But being, even when you're adamant about something, and the Lord said it in the prophecy, and assertive about it, it has to come out of a place where you've spoke the end result and said, Father, I'm going in there in your name, and I have authority and I have favor. So what I'm going to get out of there is not by me yelling or by me threatening or by me saying this or that or the other. It's going to be because I have your favor and I have your authority and I move just like Jesus moves. Well, why is that important? It's because you can't switch gears. You can't live out of one realm and then switch over to another realm and start getting, you know, little kids out of wheelchairs. Everything pairs. Everything comes together in a synchronization of pairing things up. So, you know, men, if you're not nice to your wife at home, and you're moving out of, like, I'm the man of the house, and that's the authority that you move out of instead of walking in love and in peace and the ginger of the Lord, there's no need in you thinking about you're going to cause some kind of world revival around you. Or you're going to be doing something great for God. Your authority starts at a molecular level right where you live. That's where your authority starts at. How you deal with your kids, how you deal with your wife. And then it tsunamis out of that into places where God's looking at us and God's watching us and God's judging the motivations of our heart. Now, on this, the Lord said on that particular day, after all these encounters, and again, I said, and I've heard Gary talk about this. He would pray in tongues, and the Lord just visited him in a season where he consecutively, I guess it was day after day, or I don't know if there was any days in between, but the Lord would come to him, and he would hear the Spirit begin to speak up from out of his spirit, but then it would be legible English words coming to his mind, and he would speak that into a recorder, and it was almost like, you know, it was a verbatim thing. It was the Holy Spirit speaking. And so he wrote these things down. So this one says here, for you to enter the Lamb's room of fellowship, I must bring you the mindset of Christ in two stages. That's important for us to note right to start with. Two stages, says the Spirit of Grace. I will first speak the mindset of Jesus of Nazareth during the days of his earthly ministry in the flesh. Then I will speak to you of the mindset of Christ Jesus, who is Lord of all, as he is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. So when you read this document, you understand that there's two perspectives here, as Christ on earth, as Christ in heaven. So let's continue. The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was this. Okay, here's earthly. I and my Father are one. I have no life apart from the life of my Father within me. My meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me. I must be about my Father's business. I have no plan, no agenda, no will of my own apart from my Father's will who sent me. I and my Father are one. See, if we get that, then we're going to continually move out of his authority. If we understand the mindset of Christ is our mindset, that's how he thought, that's how we must think. The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was, I am born of my Father. Now, when I'm reading this, I want you to understand this is to be our mindset. We're not to observe this like I appreciate his mindset. This is our mindset. This is what we're to believe about ourselves. There's actually, he developed some confessions out of this. And those are at his website as well. So you can confess these things, not only hear these things. And I said last week, I think that reading these documents, probably for a year and a half, I never even listened to them, like as what's available. Gary reads them wonderfully. But I was just reading them. I would read them and read them and read them. It acclimated me to hearing the voice of God, maybe like I'd never heard in my life. Because of the intimacy that came out of this and the mindset that it put in me, and I'm no better than anyone else, he'll do the same for you. He wants us all to acclimate ourselves to the mindset of Christ. If Jesus thought like this, I'm to think like this. He said this, the life that I live by the life of the Father within me. I have life within myself. My Father has anointed my life with his own spirit. Now, that's beautiful because we understand that the born-again spirit has been anointed. Wow, what a deal. I've got the born-again spirit, and then on top of that, the icing on the cake is that born-again spirit has been anointed by his spirit, the Holy Ghost. He says this, my Father's Spirit is in me and upon me to manifest my Father's will. Nothing is impossible to my Father. All things are possible by his Spirit. My Father has sent me into his garden to dress it and keep it. What's that? That's the earth. That's all around us every day. An enemy, we know who that is, has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from my Father and power. Who does? Bronk Flint. You put your name there. I have authority from my Father and power by his Spirit to restore all the damage this enemy has done and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. This is the will of my Father who sent me all things, that all things be restored to his original intent and purpose. If I don't learn the authority, then I don't understand this. If I don't move out of his authority, then I'm not purposefully driving the enemy out, because I drive the enemy out not with harsh words, but I drive the enemy out with the sayings of Christ, the Word of God. And I'm speaking those things, and the word over in move out of my authority was sow these seeds everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. I'm seeking that there's not a place in my life where the word is not being sown. My finances, I've got confessions over that. My health, I've got confessions over that. I'm speaking over this church. I'm speaking over revival. I speak over my street. I speak over my city. I speak over this nation. I've got seeds that are growing in all different departments of life. And this world is my Father's garden. I've entered in and I am his ambassador, and I am planting seeds, and wherever I see the enemy at, I'm driving him out. How? With the word of my mouth, with the word of God. So he says here, which paragraph? Third or fourth? Following the mindset of Jesus was, the mindset of Jesus of Nazareth was, I am born of my Father, I am born from above. Now, had we gone through that one yet? We just went through that one. Thank you. I get to teach in real good, and I love it. I go to something else. Jesus of Nazareth reckoned himself to be a vessel of his Father's life. He reckoned himself to be a vessel of his Father's will. He reckoned, in other words, he understood himself to be this. He reckoned himself to be a vessel of his Father's dominion. He reckoned himself to be a vessel through whom the Father could work by the Spirit of the Father to restore all the things to the Father's will. Jesus of Nazareth, while he was here on earth, in essence, reckoned himself to be the vessel of the Father's authority, the vessel of the Father's will, purpose, and ministry. Jesus of Nazareth, reckoned the Holy Spirit to be the agent of the Father's power, with whom he was to co-labor on the earth. Jesus of Nazareth understood his Father was in heaven. Thus you would see him looking into heaven when he would bless. He understood that both he and the Holy Spirit were co-laborers upon the earth together to bring the Father's will from heaven to earth, to restore all things to the original intent and purpose of the Father. Jesus of Nazareth saw no division between himself and the Holy Spirit. He reckoned himself and the Holy Spirit to be co-laborers working together to restore the Father's will. Now, I will say this, and I'm only using this as a testimony. I'm not using it as I've come to a place or arrived. But one of the things that helped me as in hearing God's voice is to treat the Holy Spirit really real. Not to think of him as an image. I know him to be God. I know him to be part of the triune Godhead. But to treat him as, and of course, in respect, but very friendly in the sense of him being a part of my day. Having, you know, I'm putting my petitions before the Father. I'm asking in Jesus' name. I'm worshiping Jesus. The Holy Spirit orchestrates this whole beautiful relationship. He'll never He'll never sever you from what his mission is to edify and to bring you the mind of Christ. But when you treat him and speak to him, often during the day, he becomes a reality to you. And when you do that, you have a sense of walking in the authority that has come through Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, we're probably not going to get to all of this, but I just want to continue down as far as we can. Jesus of Nazareth would have considered it unthinkable to attempt ministry without the co-laboring of the Holy Spirit with him. His mindset was, there's no ministry apart from the Spirit of my Father. Jesus of Nazareth would have considered it laughable to think that the fallen order of the material realm could be restored to the will of the Father without the working of the Father's Spirit. This would have been an unthinkable thought to him, as unthinkable as this, a natural man to think that he could give birth to a baby think he could birth a baby without a woman. It's unthinkable of Jesus, or to Jesus of Nazareth, that the Father's Spirit would not move to perform the Father's will. He would first hear the instruction of the Father by the Spirit, then he fully expected the Father's Spirit to perform the Father's will as he followed those instructions in his mind. What could be more simple? So hearing his voice, waiting on God, there's so much later that I would really like to get to, but hearing his voice, whether we can or not, but hearing his voice boils down to waiting on God. And you can hear his voice going, but there has to be a groundswell or a foundation of waiting on the Lord. I gave an illustration Sunday, and I hope it helped, is that there is a time in your daily devotion, or at least should be throughout different days of the week, where there would be like a waiting on God in his presence, where it divorces yourself from everything else in the world. I've found that if I have any kind of check, I get up early, usually, most early, at hours which most people are not going to call. But even at that, if I think that I'm going to be interrupted during that time, I might turn my phone off, because if I'm going to hear from him and have a communion of waiting on him, the illustration I gave Sunday was, and I won't go into the as elaborate as I did Sunday, but you can't be, I love you, Jesus, I love you, intimacy, I love you, speaking in tongues, and then inadvertently, just every few minutes, check your emails or check your Facebook or check that. That doesn't work that way. That's not waiting on God. You're integrating, and I'm not condemning anyone. I'm speaking out of experience probably more than anything else. You're integrating other things. It only takes one thought. Really, it only takes one thought of the mind to get you going. Because I'm a human being, I'm saying you, I'm not incriminating you, but I'm saying we're all human beings. I've got a good mind, you've got a good mind. It only takes one thought to hook to another boxcar on the train that takes you to another, that takes, you're sitting there 5 minutes later saying, I love you, Jesus, or praying in tongues, and praying in tongues is not bad during that time because he's still praying the mysteries, but you can be saying, I love you, Jesus, and your mind someplace else. That's not intimacy. That's not waiting on God. So I find, I'm just speaking as one of the species of human beings that is born again, that it's so important, at least during a consolidated time that I would call waiting on God, that I try to say, Lord, this time is devoted to you, and I'm not saying everybody has to turn their phone off, but if you have to, you have to. And that's beside the point. But the point is, you have to get along with God, and you can't allow momentary interruptions. There are times. Now, I will say this. Once there's a waiting on God, then there also can be, like, as you go, There can be a Smith Wigglesworth, like during the day, you're in and out, you're praying in tongues, then maybe you check your Bible. That's beautiful with God too. There's an intermittent, you're still staying in the Spirit. But there has to be a foundation in your life where it's just you and Him. It's just you and Him, and you're not integrated. It'd be better, I said Sunday, it'd be better for 30 minutes of that than hours of integration of all kinds of other stuff. Okay, but that's a very important. That's a very important aspect of waiting on God. It is unthinkable to Jesus of Nazareth that the Spirit would not move to perform the Father's will. Let me drop on down. The mindset of Jesus Christ, or of Jesus of Nazareth, He felt no obligation nor any compulsion to do anything apart from the instructions He received from the Father by the Spirit. For this reason, He said, "The Son does nothing of Himself. I do what I see my Father doing. I say what I hear my Father saying." He understood that He was on the earth to do the will of the Father. He also understood that He was not on the earth to do His own will. This is important. Listen to this. He also understood that He was not on the earth to do His own will in the name of the Father. In other words, you can hide your own ambitions, anonymity. You can hide behind the name of the Father or the name of Jesus. Just because you attach the name of Jesus to something you do doesn't mean it's the works of the Father. You can do fleshly things, and boy, you know, we're not trying to bash other churches, but how many churches across America have programs in the name of Jesus, and he's not the originator. He doesn't have any obligation to put His authority or His anointing on anything that's started by man, but yet tried to be backed up by the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ, or the name Jesus, does not put the authority into something that He did not sanction. You can speak it all day long. You can't get His authority or His anointing to come on something that's born out of the flesh. It does. You can say Jesus all you want to, but Jesus isn't coming if it's born out of the flesh. That's just good preaching there, Brother Brunk. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. This massive crowd. Hallelujah. Skipping down a little bit. This thinking freed Him from all programs that can be devised by the carnal mind. He felt no obligation to do work in the name of His Father. No, His work was more direct than that. He was literally the one through whom the Father worked. It was not His works in the name of the Father. It was the Father working through Him. He was free to simply receive the Father's mind by the Spirit and then do what He saw and say what He heard. Wow, how simple is that? Wait on God, hear, follow, and God will show up. He really will. It's just so simple. He was freed from all programs. The mindset of Jesus of Nazareth, He felt no obligation or any compulsion to venture forth into ministry until He had received the will, the plan, the mind, the counsel of the Father in the completeness by the Holy Spirit. Do you realize how many people just, especially if they're ambitious towards getting something done, don't understand what we're trying to accomplish, present tense? Those prophecies also, and other prophecies, said, complete the purging process. Go into me, and maybe this isn't the one that said that, but it said there are going to be times, I think it was bring me gold, there's going to be those that are going to get you by the Lord was saying, grab you by the arm, by the shoulder, say, come do this. Come do this, come do that. And you know what? They may have scripture and verse, Jesus fed the poor. Do you not see that? Yes. But He also said, go wait for the promise of the Father until you be endued from on high. There's a coupling of wisdom from the Holy Spirit and for every season. And what He's saying is, until you complete the purging process and receive the power, don't start all these programs. Don't be like every other church. And we're, again, not trying to run anybody down, but so many programs are just born out of the flesh. And you don't see the works of the Father. The gospel that Jesus preached is not being fulfilled. Well, is it being fulfilled in your church? we're after it. That's all I know. We're after it. We're believing God, and we're praying for anybody else that wants to get it, you know, get into this stream and any other church. We're believing. But the works that the Father did, we want to be able to say, you know, the works that Jesus did according to what his Father, he wasn't working for his Father. This is what it's saying. He wasn't an employee for his Father. He was just working with his Father's will. He would hear from his Father and follow it. Just a little bit more here. Again, I have to read this. He felt no obligation nor any compulsion to venture forth unto ministry until he had received the will, the plan, the mind, and the counsel of his Father in completeness by the Spirit. When he ventured forth to ministry, he considered not himself to be a worker for his Father. Rather, he considered himself a vessel through whom the Father could work by the Father's Spirit. There's a vast difference, the Holy Spirit said. And he said to Gary, he's saying it to all of us, there's a vast difference between those two mindsets. Hallelujah. Now, we could go into the mindset of Christ from heaven, and I think that the temptation would be, because there's so much more, to rush through it. But I would encourage you to read this. Very possible we go into it the next service. I don't know. We'll listen. But I would... If anything else, just had the opportunity to say, this is, I would say it was not only a intimacy encounter called face-to-face, it was prophetic to 2020 in pairing us and preparing us to walk in his authority. I would get this document, or I would read it from my smart device, because it's very, very powerful, and it goes right along with the 2020 blueprint prophecies. Amen. Did you enjoy tonight? I pray that you were edified, and those that are watching, family, praise the Lord. We love you so much, and Family Prayer Center people, you know, get the Zoom app, and we'll see what we can do. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. Getting some good text here. So I'm just, and you know, I'm not supposed to be texting in church, but I've got my phone on, so some good things are coming in. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Let's all stand together. And I shouldn't say shouldn't have your phone on, because we all have our phone on, but I'm saying you shouldn't be checking other websites normally, you know, like, you know, who won the football game, which nobody's playing now, so okay. But wonderful. Father, I love you, and I thank you for all of our friends, and really, it's more than that, their family that's watching. I thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. What a unique time, for such a time as this, we've been born. You know, Esther was born for her season. We're born for 2020 and going forward to see the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done. So what a special time. We feel special, Lord. We really do feel special. Thank you for inviting us into eternity, to invite us into this time and an era of time in which we're living. We bless our friends, our family that's out there, and we bless the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for what is coming Sunday in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And we wave at everybody. Amen. God bless. God bless. God bless. Amen.